Hello and welcome to the Governance Podcast for governors in the Diocese of Chichester in particular. My name is Mike Simmons and I'm pleased to welcome you to this next episode.
So with me today is Liz Young from the Eastbourne area of the Diocese. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Liz.
So I'm newly ordained. I was ordained in July this year. So I'm a curate for the churches of Eastbourne, Lodsworth and Selham. So I'm a mum with four kids. So I'm previously a youth worker for the church. So I was delighted that as part of my curacy, I get to be a foundation governor for our local school, which means I get to go into the school two or three times a week and have a lot of interaction with the kids, both in school and outside at church in various events such as Messy Church. But also it's good to be a school governor too and think about things from a more strategic view, which has been really interesting.
It's really interesting that you would say you're pleased to be a foundation governor, because not everybody enjoys that role. So what do you find particularly powerful or fruitful from being a governor?
Well, I am incredibly nosy as a person, so I like to understand how things work. And my previous career before I came into ministry, first I was a chartered accountant and then I ran a recruitment business. So I was sort of director level there. So I really enjoy understanding the sort of strategic direction of organisations. I like to know why they're there and how they put together that vision, what that means for the nuts and bolts. So having put my children through school and being kind of on the receiving end of education, my children don't go to church schools, I thought it'd be really interesting. It's very interesting to see how the Christian part of being a church school impacts what happens with the children day to day. And because I like all of that, how do things work, what systems work, I just find it really interesting to see what the thought process is between what happens at the governor level to what comes out in the classroom and what the priorities are for our children. So it's been really enlightening to see all the different things that the school has to consider when it's putting together a programme for the kids.
So I'm really going to pick you up on one little phrase in what you've just said, the Christian part of the school, because I think from our previous conversations, I'm not sure you think there's a part the Christian pays.
No, I don't think there should be a Christian part, actually. I think that the Christian ethos should permeate the entire school, actually. It's the foundation of the school. It's the reason why many of these schools were set up. You know, they were set up by Christians in order to love their communities in the name of God. And that has to be the starting point for me as to what the schools are there to do. Now, obviously, in the modern age, we have local government, we have, you know, more regulation over the actual education, the hard education parts that we have to deliver to the children. But our core job, our greatest commandment, is that we are to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. And I think that has to underpin the school ethos. We are there to love not just the children that are in our care, but also to extend that love to the families. We are there to love our teachers and our head teachers. And part of our role as governors within a Christian school is to make sure that the staff and the children are reminded of God's love, I suppose, all the time, every day, because it's always there, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think we could perhaps turn to the subject that I called you out for, as it were, which is this idea of a covenantal relationship. And I remember you were on a safeguarding course that I was running, and you came out with this expression, surely keeping our children safe is part of the covenantal relationship we have with them and for them. And I wanted to unpack that. And then the new SIAMS framework was launched in November, where we're supposed to be able to discover more about the theological rootedness of what we're doing and saying and our ethos and our vision and so on in school. And so it fitted together like a hand in a glove, really, because I think you were saying that the covenantal relationship is the starting point really, of why we are there to love the children, the staff, and the community.
Absolutely. You know, we are all, we're told at the very beginning of the Bible, aren't we? We are all made in the image of God, and it's right there in Genesis that God is always engaging with us. And if you look at Abraham and how that sort of covenant kind of changes over the Bible of, you know, if you do this, then this will happen. The promise of God is that actually, I will unfailingly love you. I will be here. I am your God, and you are my people. And I will always have your best interests at heart. I will make you, you know, the father of many. And it's how he establishes his kingdom on earth, isn't it? And it's not if you do this for me, Abraham, then I will do that. It's actually, I am going to love you unfailingly, no matter what. And I think that's what our schools should be set up to do for our children, that we are constantly giving to them opportunities to recognize just how special they are, and to recognize that they are a gift to this world, and to foster those gifts so that children know their value, because everybody is valued by God.
It's really interesting because I think a lot of people think of God as giving a set of rules and regulations by which we live, and in a sense, a promise that is dependent upon faithfulness or obedience. Sounds like that, doesn't it? But you're presenting God in a slightly different way, really, in terms of his how he relates to people.
Well, I think if you look at, you know, we've had the Ten Commandments, haven't we? We had the whole of the Torah with its 613 laws, and I think humanity has proved itself time and time again that actually, we really struggle to hold up our end of the bargain. We struggle to make good choices. You know, the Ten Commandments are there to keep us safe and to give us the best life possible. They are designed to give us life to the fullest. But actually, they're really difficult to keep, aren't they? It's, you know, it's quite easy not to kill people. Yes, that's fine. But actually, you know, not to covet things, not to want things that other people have, and to foster jealousy. That's really difficult. To not make false idols. You know, how many of us worship money or our mobile phones or what have you, or, you know, the England football team? We all want to give ourselves to something, and often we find things other than God to give and direct our lives to. And that's why we need Christ in our lives so much, isn't it? That's why God sent us Jesus, because he knows that actually we are pretty terrible at keeping our part of the bargain, and we will always fail to live the lives that God would want for us. And so that's why he sent us Christ, to model what we should do, but also to give us that message of forgiveness, that actually, even when we do fail, our faith in God does give us a hope in eternal life, isn't it? So we can be glorious failures, and as long as we believe, we know that we are promised a happy ending. And I think that's the message that I would want the children to know, that they're loved. They are going to make mistakes, but God is still going to love them anyway. You just have to believe that there is a creator God, who loves you and who wants you to live the best life possible. And that life is one that is faithful to the life of Christ, really.
Didn't St. Paul say that the law is like a school teacher or schoolmaster to lead us to Christ? So it reveals to us our need of him.
Exactly, because who can keep the law? It's in the, you know, who can stand? Who can stand it? I don't know anybody. I've never met anybody that could hold themselves wholly blameless before God. And I think even some of the most senior clergy, in fact, probably the more senior clergy you go within the Church of England, if you said, "Are you blameless before God?" They would most likely say no. So I might get told off for saying
Yeah, you're not paying
that.
attention to your bosses.
That's it. But of course, that's not an excuse not to try, you know.
So if we bring that back, I mean, you've already alluded to it, but bring that back to being a governor and the life of the school and what we're trying to achieve with the number of children on the roll and all of the staff, how does this covenantal relationship that God has, first of all, work out, and how do we replicate that ourselves?
Well, I think there's something in that covenantal relationship about presence, isn't there? And continuing to show up when times are difficult. And I think for the church and for clergy, it can be hard to show up for your local school sometimes. I think there's a lot of pressures on time and what have you. But I think surely our children, you know, they are they're our future. Whitney Houston was right. And actually, we do need to be making sure that they have the opportunity to access faith in the way that we have to access faith. And that means telling the stories of God's love, to be a presence so that they understand that they're part of this covenant, so that they know that they are, so they know that they are loved, essentially, and so that they can hear how God has consistently acted throughout history to stick up for the oppressed, to feed the poor, to make the lame leap like deer, to get the blind to see, to unstop the ears of the deaf, to help those who are oppressed. God consistently shows up throughout history to help humanity, and God can be relied upon to consistently show up for them and to help them. And God, of course, works through people. And so those of us who have faith in God, who are so grateful for that unfailing love, our only right response is to want to thank God by finding ways to love him back, him slash her, obviously. And so we model, and it can be dismissed as being easy, can't it? Some people think, oh, it's very easy. Oh, God loves you all. It's all fluffy around the edges. You're forgiven. And they would like us to focus more on the sort of penitential side. But I think actually it's far from easy to say, God loves me as I am. How can I love him back? Because when you have that release of actually God loves me, your vision then changes from being about you, what can I do to make God love me more, and a very sort of centered, sort of individualistic vision, to how do I repay this great love? How do I shine as a light in my community? How do I tell other people this amazing secret that I have found out? How do I get them to feel as joyful and as grateful as I do? And I think that's a much harder way to live your life, actually, because you are constantly there and responsible to your community. And it's that kind of thing that underpins that sort of covenantal relationship, really, because when you're in this covenantal relationship, which is born of knowing that God loves us so completely, it then gives us that responsibility, doesn't it, to love others as we are loved. And that's what means that we do show up within school, and that we are there in governors' meetings till 9:30 at night, you know, when the heating's gone off and all that kind of stuff. And it's what, you know, it's what gets us out of bed in the morning, really.
I'm thinking that there may be governors listening to this going, well, you don't know our budget. You don't know the outcome that we've just had with the recent sats, or you haven't been in a situation where Ofsted have just judged us to be in, it requires improvement. How can that work out in any one of those situations where the rubber hits the ground? We want to love, but we've got to be going to take some difficult decisions. Maybe it's even going to mean, I don't know, redundancies or whatever, you know, people being on capability. All of those things are massively difficult to do, and perhaps made more difficult, maybe that's what you're suggesting, if we are drawing out of that covenantal relationship idea.
Well, I guess, you know, loving people doesn't necessarily mean saying yes to everything all of the time. It doesn't necessarily mean accepting behaviors that aren't appropriate. Sometimes loving people, loving your school does mean making redundancies. Sometimes loving your school does mean making difficult decisions, because actually the school has to continue. The school needs to be there. It can't love anybody if it's not there. And so actually what you have to do is to understand what your priorities as a school are, because no school can do everything. No school has got resources for every good project in the world. And what the covenantal relationship for me means is there's a lot about discernment, really, of what God's will for that school and in that place is. God knows the children that are in that school. God knows what they need. And when you have a covenantal relationship that is rooted in that, then you are kind of looking at your school through the eyes of God. You're trying to think, what would be the most loving thing that we could do for these children? What does this cohort need? And of course, within a school, that's incredibly dynamic. You know, you might get a cohort one year that absolutely need forest school. They need to be outside. They need to be engaged in nature because that's who they are. You might have another cohort that, you know, need more of a more focus on the basics of education because they're coming off of, you know, 2 years of being homeschooled because of COVID, and actually they need help to catch up or else it's all going to fall apart. It doesn't mean that you go around saying yes to everything and life is all fluffy, but it does mean that you give yourself a framework that you think, you sit and spend time thinking, what is God's vision for this school in this present time and location? What does this school need? And that is something that has to be done collaboratively. It has to be done prayerfully. It has to listen to all voices, not just, you know, the collars in the room, but the parents. Because how can you understand what God's will for those children are if you don't know the children, if you don't know the parents, if you don't know the home life? It's a lot of work to put that in. You have to spend a lot of time listening. But that's the only way you're going to be able to get that that top level view, really. And that's what the Board of Governors is there for, isn't it? You know, it's there for a strategic view by which the school is run. So you have to put the time in to know who you are, I think, and to set that vision.
That is really so helpful. And we could do with another 20 minutes to unpack what you've just been saying, because it goes straight to what your school vision is, how that is theologically rooted, both in the culture, the context of the school, and in biblical theology as well.
Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. And if you have any questions or comments on today's episode, to contact me, mike.simmons@chichester.anglican.org. So until next time, goodbye and God bless you.